messages from New Life Gillette series, Let It Go. This week, Pastor Mike presents part two of this series.
Hello, we are in week two of a series called Let It Go. We're starting a new series next week we're excited about. I hope you'll join us. We're talking about the story of Joshua. Last week in Let It Go series, we talked about, it was the frozen version of Let It Go. It's like, let your dreams fly. Let the world see them. Don't hold them back anymore. Let it go type of Let It Go. Today is a different type of Let It Go. We're asking the question, what in your life do you need to let go of? What have you been holding on to too long? And it's something that God would ask you to give up. Many of you have just spent the past couple months in isolation. You've searched for every Netflix show you can find that's 4 stars or more that isn't a chick flick, and you've decided, I've had enough of this stuff. I want to do something that's worth doing. So you pick up a Bible and you start reading the Bible and you come across a verse like this. Be still and know that I am God. But you're thinking, be still is overrated. That's because Sabbath rest is good, but it's meant to be one day, not for months after month. The good news is that be still is actually a poor translation of this verse. It's not asking you to be still more than you have already been still. So let's take a quick, deeper look at the actual meaning of this verse. The original Hebrew word for be still is harpu. This is the word. It says harpu and know that I am God. And we translate that word in this verse to be still. But what the word harpu actually means is not be still. What it actually means is let go. Let go. So David, when he's writing this verse, be still and know that I'm God, what he actually wrote in his language is let go and know that I am God. In our language, if you hear be still, you think freeze. But freeze tag doesn't help us in this situation. And freeze tag being frozen is a punishment. It's a setback. But what David here is saying, he's not saying stop, freeze. What he's actually saying is more like move forward. Let go of the past and trust God. Let go of your way of doing things and go God's way and know that he is God. And part of what God tells us to do is Sabbath rest. So yes, Sabbath rest, being still, is a good thing. But what did your Sabbath rest tell you? While you were resting, what did God reveal to you that you should do? What action steps should you take? And in your Sabbath rest, what was revealed to you? What do you need to let go of? I recognize you're not supposed to end a sentence in a preposition, but that's just how it came out. The future in our lives, this is reality, the future is going to be different than the past. And you can allow that future just to happen to you, or you can be intentional about that future and be intentional about the changes that take place. Most people think that the Bible is just some lame book with a bunch of rules. It's all about morality and it's just kind of boring, but you got to sludge through it if you want to be a good person. No, the Bible is actually mostly a collection of stories of action heroes, superheroes. We grow up hearing the story of Iron Man and Thor and Hulk and Captain America. But young Jewish boys and girls would have grown up hearing the stories of Moses, of David, of Esther, and other great heroes of the faith. And the big difference between the stories that they were told growing up and the stories that we're usually told in our culture growing up is that their stories were true stories. And perhaps the most, if not one of the most famous heroes in Jewish scripture, in the Jewish storybooks, was a guy named Moses. We talked about him last week. He was placed in a basket and put down the river by his mom because his mom trusted God. And so Moses was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, and Moses eventually became a prince of Egypt. But Moses was also the brave hero who would leave his kingdom, the kingdom of Egypt. And he would go and he would live out in exile pretty much for 40 years. And then he would come again before that Pharaoh that he knew. And he would say, let my people, the Israelites, let the Jewish people, let my people go. Pharaoh, let them go. Quit holding on to them. They're not yours to hold on to. Let my people go. And so Moses would lead the Israelites out of Egypt, out into the wilderness. And so Moses was a great leader of Israel. But let's be honest about his experience. It was rough. Out in the wilderness, Moses had to face more than what most of us would ever want to face. Moses is immediately attacked by Pharaoh, the most powerful king in the world, and his armies, and God defeats them. He's attacked by other nations and other peoples. He's having to lead these people through the wilderness for 40 years in the desert. And you got to remember, these people are in the midst of all of this, having to create a whole culture, a way of doing laws and judgment and figuring out how they're going to elect leaders. And all of this is happening out in the wilderness. At one point, the people of Israel ran out of water, and God provided water for them out of a rock. And today we're going to look at a story of a time when Israel ran out of food. And even though God had provided for them and protected them so many times in the past, they did not immediately trust God to provide that food for them. We pick up the story of Moses in Exodus chapter 16. Then the whole community of Israel set out from Elim and journeyed into the wilderness of Sin, where a lot of sin happened, I should mention. They arrived there 1 month after leaving the land of Egypt. So they've been out of Egypt for a month. The Jews, remember, are abruptly removed from Egypt. I mean, that was their way of life. Their plans and their old way of life has ended. And they had to leave it all behind. And let's be honest, change is hard. And they were wrestling with this change, even if that change was leaving something that you didn't like all that much, even if leaving that thing meant risking your life, change of any kind is hard. So they mourned the loss of even something that they hated. But I was working my way up that slave chain ladder. I was making something of myself because it was known. And change is hard. Verse 2, there too the whole community of Israel complained about Moses, complained about their leaders. I don't like the decisions they're making. I don't like how they're leading us. And this is what we do, right? We get used to one way of doing things, even if it's a bad way, even if we're not happy in our current way. And when change happens, we have to mourn the loss of the old way because it was normal. And it requires a great amount of maturity, and many of us mature to this point throughout our lives, where we mature to the place where we're okay with giving up normal in hopes of something better. Today, my appeal is to invite you not to go back to normal. Things are changing. Don't go back to normal. Find a better way. Verse 3, if only the Lord had killed us back in Egypt. Like, dying would have been better than having to follow Moses and Aaron. They moaned. When COVID-19 hit, they canceled funerals. Some people lost loved ones and didn't even get to have funerals for the people that they love, at least not in the traditional way. And I can't think of many things that are harder than that. That's hard to deal with. So we're talking about really hard change, not the kind of change where you're leaving something that you should obviously lead. But most of us haven't had to deal with that. But we're still mourning losses, right? Most of us are mourning the loss of normal, of our routine, of the way that we do things. So maybe we need to plan some funerals for our plans. Maybe we need to have a funeral, even if we have to do it in social distancing, for our way of doing things and expect God to do something good in the future. Moving on, there we sat around pots, they're talking about when they were in Egypt, filled with meat and ate all the bread we wanted. Pots of meat, this was their good old days. But now you have brought us into the wilderness to starve us all to death. So if you're asking me to get rid of broccoli and trade it for ice cream, that's an easier change, right? I can make that change. I'm in. But if I have broccoli and you're asking me to give it up without telling me then what I'm going to get, that sounds much harder. That evokes more pain and requires more faith. Because that's where faith comes in. To lose something, to have a change without knowing what is on the other side of that change. And this is the reality of what the Israelites are experiencing right now. They didn't know where their next meal was coming from. This is total faith. This is total reliance of God. I've got to leave behind the old way without having any clue of what the new way is going to look like. They just had to follow God by following Moses. Verse 4. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Look, I'm going to rain down food." Okay, God, he just keeps coming through. "I'm going to rain down food from heaven for you. Each day the people can go out and pick up as much food as they need for that day." So they had to let go of something before God would reveal to them what he had for them. A better way. They didn't even have to work for this food. It just kind of appeared. And the same kind of thing happened to the Jews when Jesus came along. You're going to have to give up something that you've become accustomed to. Paul said this, "Give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let your bodies be a living and holy sacrifice to God." See, God's old way required an animal sacrifice. An animal had to die and stay dead in order for your sins to be forgiven. But the new way was different. This was a spiritual death that had to happen. But the good thing was there was a rebirth after the death in a way that we had not experienced in the past. We like the old way. We know all the sacrifice system and kill an animal and all that way. No, because the new way is better. I know it's a little bit unknown. It's a little scary. The new way is better. In the new way, you get to live and your sins can be forgiven. Verse 2 says, "Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person." Not who you were before. This is a good change. Into a new person by changing the way you think. The difference is that the world wants to change you from the outside in. But God wants to change you from the inside out. God, his way is better. His way is spiritual, so it's a little bit less tangible, but it's better. It's not a high-pressure sales pitch. It's a gift. It's a blessing. God's way is better, even though it means I have to give up something I know. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing. God's will is good and pleasing and perfect. But in order to get there, there has to be something happening first. Then, first you've got to let go of the old way. Then, you will know God's will for you. Then you will experience his good and pleasing and perfect way for your life. Then you can become who God created you to be. So, what is it that you need to let go of Most of us need to let go of our need to know, first of all. They call that faith. We need to let go of control. We need to give it over to God. But what did God tell Pharaoh? God told Pharaoh, "Let my people go. Let go." But before Pharaoh would obey God's instructions, God had to bring upon him 10 plagues, terrible plagues, to convince Pharaoh to let the Jews go. So what will it take for God to convince us to let go of our old way of doing things? To let go of things that are holding us back? To let go of things that are dragging us down? Maybe COVID-19 for you was a wake-up call. Maybe the changes that you're experiencing right now make you recognize that maybe the old way wasn't the best way. And you realize that there are some things in your life that you need to let go of. You've all been wondering, why are there balloons behind Mike? Maybe you need to recognize in your isolation that maybe you have had too much isolation, not just during COVID-19, but before COVID-19, you've recognized maybe it's time for a deeper level of fellowship. Maybe it's time for me to join a life group and let go of isolation. Maybe it's time for you to let go of some bad hobbies, some time-wasting hobbies. Maybe it's time for you to let go of Netflix. You've watched all the shows. There's none left. And you've started to realize, I need a hobby that's actually worth having. Maybe in this moment you're saying, I'm gonna let go of something really tangible. I'm letting go of Netflix. Maybe in this time you've recognized that you had or have an addiction to social media. And now that social media is really your only connection to the world, you've recognized, I don't like who I am when I'm on social media. I say things I shouldn't say. I let people's posts affect my emotions more than I have. And now that that's all I have, I've recognized maybe it's time for me just to let go of social media. Maybe for you, instead, it's the opposite of that. Maybe you have had a fear of social media. Maybe you thought it was just a fad that was going to go away and you didn't like what it was, but you had to get on Facebook because your life group got on Facebook, and so was on Facebook is the only way you could connect with them. You got on social media. Now you've recognized, actually, it's not that bad. Actually, it's helped me connect with some people that I wouldn't have connected with otherwise. Maybe it's time for me to let go of my fear of social media. Somebody's going to have to find a BB gun to make sure that those don't stay up there forever. Maybe the thing that you need to let go of is a little bit harder to talk about than what I've mentioned so far. Maybe what you need to let go of is some kind of addiction. There's something you've been doing, and there's no question you should stop, but you've had a hard time. It's dragging you down, and you know it is, but you just can't figure out how to let it go. Maybe it is in the change that COVID-19 has brought, that you will have just enough courage to beg God to give you the strength to help you overcome this addiction that has held you back for far too long. And one thing that we've noticed when people are letting go of addictions is that there is a mourning process that happens. It's hard. Addictions are a crutch. They're a comfort zone when we are in pain. We run to them when we don't have anything else to run to, or at least we think we don't. And addictions, because they become that crutch, are very painful to let go of. Maybe it's time to allow yourself to experience the pain of that change and let go of that addiction. Maybe for you, there is the big one. You need to take the first big step of letting go that kind of makes all the other ones possible. And you need to let go of your life. Maybe you've said you're a Christian in the past, and that's just something you said because that's what people say. Or maybe you've gone to church, or you grew up going to church because your parents made you, or whatever reason But you've recognized that you've never actually given your life to God. You've never actually let go of your will. You've actually held control of it. And maybe for you in this time of change, you're recognizing that it's time for you to let go of your goal of being good enough to earn God's favor, of being good enough to earn your way of heaven. And it's time for you to let go of trying to control your own life and let God have your life. And you're saying, I'm ready, God. I want to take that first big step. And I want to release control of my life. I want to let go and give it over to you. What is it in your life that it's time to let go of? If you're one of those who've been holding on too long, maybe it's pride, maybe it's something else that has kept you from giving your life to God, I want to ask you in this time to take that step. There's no better time. We always kind of think, I'll do it later. There's no better time than now, than to surrender your life to God and say, God, I believe you're real. I thank you for coming and giving us a new way, a better way, for dying on the cross so that my sins can be forgiven. Would you give me a new life? Would you show me the better way? And then just ask him to be your heavenly Father. And if you do that, it will be the best step you've ever taken in your life. I'll tell you one thing that I'm letting go of. It's the idea that online church is going to someday replace physical church. I have definitely learned it isn't. It won't, because we need each other. We need the fellowship that is created as we gather together. And so in this time, if you have mourned, like I have, the loss of that fellowship, I first want to encourage you to engage with your life group if you have one. Whatever that takes, whatever that looks like, if you can get together in a living room, that's best. But if it has to be on Zoom, that's okay. But come together, support each other, build each other up, and love one another through this time. God, today I thank you for how you have worked in our lives to help us to become who you created us to be. I pray that we would have the courage to let go of those things in our life that are holding us back, and instead seek after you with all of our hearts. That we will let go and trust you with the future. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Stay safe.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.